We're gathered in your presence to give thanks to you, especially on this evening. We thank you for the gift of your word, which we are eager now to hear. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who has brought us to faith, for your Son, who has died to save us. Bless us, we pray, through the hearing of your word this evening. In your Son, Jesus' name, we ask. Amen. On this Thanksgiving Eve, when we gather to give thanks to our God for all the things that he's given to us, blessed us with, it's fitting that we begin with a confession of our sins, acknowledging that because of our sins, we are certainly worthy of none of the things that he has given us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Our sins and
From the conviction of our hearts, we confess together, Almighty God, merciful Father, we confess that we were conceived and born with sin. We further confess that we have, since birth, actively sinned against you by our thoughts, words, and actions. We are sorry for our countless sins, and we humble ourselves before your holy presence. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, and renew us by your Holy Spirit. God the Father has indeed declared you to be not guilty for Jesus' sake. By his command and according to his authority, I announce to you that his divine decree that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, whose mercies are new every morning and whose goodness, though undeserved, still abundantly provides for all of our wants of body and soul, grant us, we humbly pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness toward us, give thanks for all of your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. This we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Oh.
Our first scripture reading on this Thanksgiving Eve is found in Paul's first letter to Timothy, the second chapter, beginning there with the first verse. All these readings are applicable, obviously, at all times to all mankind. And yet, it is incumbent on us, it's necessary for us to work to apply them to ourselves, not just to read them as applying to others or in a different time, but to us here this evening. And certainly we can understand the need for what Paul calls for here and how important it is to be encouraged to pray for all those in authority and to give thanks to God for all things, even those that we do not agree with, those that are not fair or just in our eyes. Certainly that was true in Timothy's day, and yet Paul encouraged, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Second reading for this evening is a familiar account, of course. It's used often for Thanksgiving services and on other occasions. And in this case, we want to hear, it's the account of the 10 lepers and how only one returned to give thanks to God. We would like to see ourselves as the one. That's where we'd like to see ourselves in this reading. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, if we really enumerate, seek to take time to list all the ways God has blessed us, more often than not, we acknowledge that we're more often with the nine who receive God's blessings without thanksgiving. So we're encouraged here to be like that one. On the way to Jerusalem, he, that is Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well."
Thank you.
continue with the singing of our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace, certainly three of God's great gifts for which we ought to be thankful. May those gifts be multiplied to each of you in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Dear fellow recipients of God's goodness, try an experiment and I guarantee the result, so you don't even need to try. At random and with no pretext, no history, no introduction, no background, walk up to somebody and say thank you. Family member, coworker, friend, whomever. Thank you. And I guarantee what they'll say. You know what they'll say. For what? Pretty obvious, isn't it? It's just a given. Thank someone and they want to know the why. Why are you thanking me? It's also almost universally true that we fish for gratitude. We fish for thank yous and appreciation. And it's interesting to see it because men and women and children all do it differently, but all with the hope for, the same hoped for result. We bait our hook with something and then we dangle it in front of the person that we want to express their gratitude. I see that you like the meal, honey. It took me half the day to make it. Oh, it's good, honey. Thank you. Honey, I don't know if you noticed, but I changed the oil in your car and turned off that pesky service engine light. Oh, thank you, honey. We just do it all the time. And it starts when we're little. Mommy, did you like the picture I colored for you? It's the same thing. It starts a little. Why do we do that? Because we have this universal need to be appreciated. In fact, gratitude is this powerful thing. Human beings are able to bear up under tremendous hardship and adversity if they have one thing from those that they seek to serve: gratitude. If they show their appreciation, it makes it worth it and it helps you to carry on. Our God also wants us to show our gratitude. But for Him, it's different. In fact, for Him, it's very different. Where you and I want to experience gratitude from those we serve for us because it makes us feel better, that's not the way it is with God. God has no such need or deficiency. It isn't that God is in heaven craving or lacking our gratitude or thanksgiving. And it's like, boy, I just wish they'd appreciate, because he doesn't have those human insecurities and failings that we have. In fact, God wants gratitude from his children for our sakes, because it's the right thing to do. Not because he has some need or lacks anything. That's probably why we find this interesting thing, and this is part of the benefit of reading not just a scripture lesson or reading, but reading in your Bible and then sort of mentally at least keeping track of, because you find then patterns that you can't find in one particular or individual reading. And one of these patterns that you see is virtually every time, I say virtually because I'm sure there are a few exceptions, but virtually every time that God tells us that he wants us to be grateful or offer our thanksgiving, he also gives us the why of thanksgiving, the reason for it, because that reason is not always intuitive, as we'll see. For example, in our text for this evening, found in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, beginning with the first 10 verses, here we'll find the why of thanksgiving, and yet there'll be two instances. One will be much less obvious, perhaps, than the other. So reading in verse 1 of chapter 8, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." This is God's word. It is in and of itself, therefore, reason enough to gather on this evening to give thanks to our God for giving us these words. But we ask that he would continue to bless us through the study of these words also this evening. So we pray. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Pretty hard to miss the first why of thanksgiving in this text, isn't it? God spelled it out rather clearly to them. They had just been delivered from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. He brought them safely across the Red Sea, destroyed the Egyptian army, and then when they balked at the border of the Promised Land, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. The survivors of that wandering are at the gates of the Promised Land, and God is giving that to them. And He's not giving them a fixer-upper, is he? He's not just giving them some more wilderness or untamed stuff that they could finally call their own and work on. This is a move-in ready piece of prime real estate that God is giving them. Everything, all the heavy lifting of taming the land has already been done. And you and I don't get that because we've grown up in a civilized, modern, convenience world. They've been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And now they're coming again, not just to, oh, this is a pretty nice place. This is a gorgeous place. A stark contrast to what they're used to. Flowing with water, springs, fountains. You will eat bread without scarcity. There's minerals in the hills. It's good soil. And beyond that, the wine presses are already built. The vineyards are already established. The protecting walls are already built with the watchtowers. Wells have been dug. Houses built. Fortifications all made. All you have to do is move in. So that's the first why of Thanksgiving. To the children of Israel, it would have been obvious. Yeah, we know why we're thanking you. We don't know the extent of it yet because we haven't seen it, but right, it's right to give thanks to you. But there's another why here, and this one is a little less obvious. It shouldn't be to us, but it is. If you stop to think about it, it can be jarring to realize that the second why of Thanksgiving is God telling them what they must do. It's easy, or it's intuitive at least, that we give thanks to somebody who's done something for us. It's a little out of the ordinary to give thanks for what somebody is requiring of us. So God is giving them commandments they are to follow, and they should be thankful for it. Why exactly is that, or how does that work? You parents know it. Well, show of hands, how many had parents when they were little? You had parents, and I bet you most of them would have at some point or another, maybe multiple times as mine did, had this thing where they said, they told you to do something, and you, in your infinite wisdom, questioned the validity of that particular thing that they told you to do, and they said, just do it. And then they often added, someday you'll thank me for it. And that was like the most nonsensical thing in the world to you as a kid. Someday I'll thank you for making me do the dishes? Okay. I thank my parents now for making me do the dishes, for making me clean up my room. Because it taught me something. It gave me. So here, when God gives the children of Israel his commandments and talks about how right it is that they should express their gratitude for them, the reason is not that, again, God has a deficiency. I just want you to obey me. It's, I want to bless you. I'm giving you this land. But that's not the same as living happily ever after. That's just in the movies. When you move in here and I give you all this, yeah, that's reason for thanks. But you're going to mess up here. I know you are. And you know how you can keep this, how you can maintain it, how you can prosper, how you can raise your families here, and I will be your protector God forever? Obey these commandments I gave you. You see the why of the thanksgiving then in the commandments? Why we thank God for giving us these commandments? All of his will in our lives, why we thank him for it? Well, let's put it this way. Just take the fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder. How would you like that commandment removed and the police defunded? Do you see what a blessing that one commandment is? Or thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All these things regulate our society. In our first scripture reading, it talked about how I give you these prayers, intercessions for all those in authority. But then he gave us the why, that you may live peaceable, quiet lives. That's the beauty of the reason for thanksgiving, for the why in connection with God's law, his rules. So it's a bit out of the ordinary, but when we look at it, surely it's true. This is God saying, just do it. Someday you'll thank me for it. Just follow my commandments. Right now you're all happy. You're on the front end. You're all filled with anticipation. But if you don't walk in harmony with my commandments, you're going to throw it all away. The people that I've removed or that I'm taking this land from, you, the ones who did all this work, I didn't remove them. I am not in the process of removing them because they were good and pious and God-fearing. I'm removing them because they disobeyed my word and will. They have other gods and refuse the one true God. Obviously, the warning needs to be repeated, not just in our society, but in our homes, in our lives. This is the purpose, one of the purposes of the law. The law is a curb for the godless. It's a mirror that shows us our sins, but it's also the rule and guide in our lives. I want to say thank you to God. How? By obeying his commandments. That's what pleases him. Because he wants to bless us. Listen again to what our text says and apply it to yourselves. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 many years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you, in this case with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. God's saying to us, because these words have been preserved and delivered to us, saying to us, as he said to them, here's my commandments. Just do this. Someday you'll thank me for it. And the farther you get into life, the more you recognize. If you're wise, if you take the time to contemplate, the more you recognize how valuable, how fitting and right to give thanks to God for his law. So God here gave the Jews the why of the thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. How do we end that? How does that go on? For he is good. Think about it. Think through the scripture lessons and recognize how many times God tells us something or gives us his will is that we give thanks or be grateful, and then gives us the why. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So he gives us the why. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The why? Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. On and on through the passages of Scripture. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And then the why. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. And finally, from our text, You shall bless the Lord your God. Why? You shall eat and be full, and for the good land he has given you. So far from obscure or applying to somebody else, when you think about it, when you study through, when you apply it to yourselves, you see how perfectly it applies to me, to us, to each of us individually. So many things in our lives we don't even recognize as blessings from God, let alone do we express our gratitude for them. It takes sometimes God's discipline, God's removing something to see. Remove the police, and you'll see real quickly what a blessing that is. Remove any part of your existence now that benefits you, and then you'll see the blessing that God has given you therein. Shouldn't need to be that way. God in his mercy often gives us the why. And the greatest why, of course, the most important reason we give thanks to our God, he didn't withhold that why from us either. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Every single one of these blessings we can, and it's right that it's on Thanksgiving we should look at and try to enumerate and recognize all of these temporal blessings. With our confirmation students, just how many fingers? I'll do it with you. How many fingers? Two. How many blessings of God can you identify there? Well, you heard, so he gave you the gift of hearing. You saw, so the gift of sight. You're able to count, so you have a brain, which you use sometimes. You can speak a language, you can understand different language, different words and sounds. Everything that we do in life should seek to glorify God, and all that's good, but all of that ends when this world is rolled up like a scroll, and one thing lasts, and of course it's the gift of Jesus, the gift of forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus our Savior. Without that, nothing else would matter. Without the forgiveness of our sins, we would live maybe a comfortable life, or we could live a comfortable life and then spend eternity in hell. The greatest gift God could ever give us is forgiveness of our sins in Jesus and eternal life through him. Just as we recognize we don't deserve the material blessings, clearly we don't deserve forgiveness. That's why we began our service this evening with a confession of sins. We come here to thank our God, yes, but as Luther said, don't deny my prayer on account of my sin. I'm worthy to ask for none of this. When I say, give me this day my daily bread, you give it to all the wicked, but don't deny me. When I pray, hear me. Don't deny me because of my sin. And God says to all of that, you don't have to worry about that because my son already paid your sin debt. It's gone. You never have to worry that I stop loving you, that I stop providing for you in this life or the next. You never have to worry that I will quit blessing you because I loved you enough to send my son to pay your sin debt. I certainly will not withhold any good thing from you. And yet, as God told the Jews, the children of Israel, in our text, at times I may have to discipline you, because at times you make it so that there's no other way. The hard thing is the only way you learn. And so we learn also to thank our God for that. To that God, our God, we offer our thanks, not just this evening, always. And we acknowledge with the Apostle Paul in Romans 11 the why of our thanksgiving. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all human thought or invention, shall guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with our confession, and this evening we use the confession as taken from or based on Luther's first article. I believe that God has made me and every living thing. He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. He has given me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, property and possessions. He daily and richly provides me with all I need to support this body and life. He protects me from all danger. He guards and preserves me from every evil. He does all of this out of pure, fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all of this, I thank, praise, serve, and obey him. Amen. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the kindness and mercy you have showered upon us, your beloved children, in Christ Jesus. You continually feed, clothe, guard, and protect us. In countless ways, you amply provide for our physical well-being. The bounties of land and ocean, of forest, mine, and factory, which we receive from your hand, Fill our hearts with gladness. We thank you, kind and gracious God, for your many blessings. Help us to appreciate them, to never love them unduly, but to enjoy them as you have given them to us to enjoy. We thank you for the greater blessings of our families and our Christian families. We're confident that you watch over us whenever we leave our homes, and that unknowingly we are constantly brushed by the angels' wings that you send to guard us. You supply shelter over our heads, provide jobs, income, health, and strength to carry on. By the example of your own love for us, you have taught us and the members of our families to love and respect one another and to live together in peace and harmony. At times, you find it necessary to chasten us for these chastenings, this discipline also, we thank you. They are the things that heal us, that make us grow straight, that guide us away from error and folly and calamity. We thank you for hearing our prayers and for answering according only to your wisdom. Though as a nation we have and continue to offend you by our sins, though our society has forsaken you, yet in your mercy you have chosen not to abandon us. Though we are often wasteful, you still continue to supply. Through science and medicine, you have blessed us with a high standard of living, and yet our society has come to worship the very gifts that you have given us instead of the giver of those gifts. Keep us from error and folly. Keep us every moment of every day thankful. Make us aware of the danger of setting aside one day in particular to offer you our thanksgiving, as though that is what is good and God-pleasing alone, rather than to live moment by moment every day in a spirit of thanksgiving to you. These things we pray, Father, knowing that you are well aware of all of the things that we lack or need or desire, and you hear the silent prayers of our hearts, hear also the words of our mouths as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.